Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah! Wow! I mean, happy MLK Day to everybody out there, but Al, I would be remiss if I did not start with this. It was June in 2022, about 7 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Staley, the current head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. The history of this team when I got here, it was like someone's gonna get hurt. They're gonna blow a lead. Something catastrophic is gonna happen. There's this charging, and there's all these external factors that I know in my life, they're just all excuses. They're just all excuses. And so, all right, well, how do you change that? Well, you have to do things different. You have to have a different approach. L.O.L. Brandon Staley.
Amen, brother. Amen, Stay.
Are you kidding me?
Amen,
look,
brother.
I want to talk about your weekend. I want to talk about your steak. I want to talk about Taylor going to Sacramento.
3 hours and 15 minutes.
We got a lot of time.
12,
please. 3 hours and 12 minutes. We've got all of these things to get to, but are you kidding me, Al? That the charging of it all, that the Chargers did that they had a +5 turnover margin, that they had a 27-point lead with 2 minutes to go in the second quarter, and that the Chargers are home after losing to Jacksonville is the chargeriest Charger thing ever.
Listen, I almost get a little offended when you call it chargering, because I'm like, no, that's San Diego's label of... We still own that. That's ours.
Fair.
That's not LA's.
It's
LA,
fair.
They kind of got a fresh start here. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I really honestly do not know what to tell you. 27-0. I sent out a tweet saying, well, this isn't going as planned. I think it was like 17-0. This isn't going as planned. And then, you know, there was like 11 people that responded, because that's how many people there are in LA that root for the Chargers. And we're like, yeah, what do you think of that, Al? Bro, that is just unbelievable how many things to go the other way. To me, it is unbelievable.
If it happened to the 49ers, or if it happened to the Bills, or it happened to really any team that wasn't the Chargers, I'd be with you.
I disagree.
This is what they do.
I disagree. You got to step back and really truly appreciate 5 turnovers to nothing.
No, I
27
saw it.
To nothing.
I saw that too.
You have to really... The Chargers didn't have a turn. It's not like, hey, bam, bam, they scored, and then here's a quick pick six.
And nobody got hurt. It's not like Herbert got knocked out of the game or anything like that.
No. This execution was...
It's a whole team effort.
Calm, cool, and collective all the way through. This breakdown was calm, cool, and collective all the way through.
I get it. We've never seen a 5-0 turnover margin where the team with 5 loses. That had never happened in the playoffs before.
My
there
mind
was something
can't,
like 100. It's like 1,258-2 in the history of the NFL with a +5 turnover margin. But Al, what, you know this better than anybody. I shouldn't have to explain this to you.
Yep.
The very moment it happened, it was like, hey, of these 10 Charger losses, where does this rank? You can't do that with other teams. Only the Chargers can have a 27-point lead, blow it with a 5-0 turnover margin, have your head coach and quarterback make a series of just inexplicably bad decisions, and have it be like, yeah, that might not have been the worst one they've ever had. Only the Chargers can have that explanation. It was amazing.
Can I give you just a couple moments in the game as it's all kind of unfolding, right? It's, you know, it's 27-7 at half, but you're still like, okay, this game's over. And then, in my opinion, I'll just give you my perspective, right? 27-7, it's like, all right, this game's over. Because it's not much, it's not like the Chargers have to really do much. You just got to run the clock. You got to make sure that Austin Eckler maybe touches the ball more than 7 times in the second half. You got to make sure that any plays that you run, it's a kind of a running clock mentality. Okay, if we're going to throw the ball, let's just go get 5 yards. The clock just keeps running. That kind of thing. And when it starts kind of going the other way, and it's so great how The TV is
still
panning.
Funny. Happened 2 days ago, and it's still funny.
Travis, it's so great how the TV is panning, and it's showing Staley,
yep.
and it's showing Doug Peterson. And yep. It's kind of going back and forth. And you got one coach. I'm not kidding. Maybe this is just me from my perspective. You got one coach who is so confident about every single thing he's doing, even though they're down as many points as they are. And you got the other coach. He looks so flustered.
Yes.
He's kind of just walking the sidelines. His eyes are wide, and he's kind of doesn't really know where to move, what to go. And then you got Doug Peterson like, okay, cool, so 4th and 1 on this one. Yeah, we're going to pretend like we're going up the gut. We're actually going to go around the side. You know what? Did Bosa just throw his helmet down? Cool. You know what? Let's go for 2 on this one so that if we eventually get another shot here, we're actually going to go for the win, not the tie. I mean, just zero hesitation. The difference between it was a clinic. Doug Peterson versus Brandon Staley, an absolute clinic for the final 30 minutes of that game.
It was, and it was, like you said, to blow a 27-point lead, which they did, something extraordinary has to happen typically, right? The other team has to start throwing interceptions or fumbles or have
an injury, like you said.
An injury, mm-hmm. or the team that's trailing has to return a punt for a touchdown or a kick for a touchdown or a pick six or something that where you score really quickly and unexpectedly. None of that happened. None. It was just galling, shocking, blatant coaching malpractice that led to that loss. This was not a, hey, listen, that was a really bad throw or that ball squeezed out. It was a series, like you just said, over the course of about an hour and 45 minutes, the second half, a series of decisions that made you go, what the hell are they doing? What the hell is he doing? Somebody tackle him. Somebody stop him. Somebody, there needs to be some sort of coaching intervention to get him to stop doing this. They ran the ball 8 times in the second half. They should have run it virtually every play.
Sure.
When they would pass it, they were pushing the ball down the field. Okay. Incompletions. And oh, by the
clock
way, they're
stops.
Snapping the ball with like 18 seconds left
oh
on the play clock. Play clock's running. If you do nothing other than just run that play clock down mm-hmm. to 4 or 5 seconds each time, mm-hmm. you've just burned off another 3 or 4 minutes of time doing nothing. This is the only coach I've ever... There's been a lot of bad coaches in the NFL. A mm-hmm. lot of them, mm-hmm. right? I've never run into a coach who, this didn't have a coach, you would win games. Just leave him home and you would win games. Just don't even get on the plane. Just stay over the... No. We got this. Just do nothing. Last year, go to the playoffs.
Yep.
Run Austin yep. Eckler into the butt of the center mm-hmm. 3 times in a row every time, and they probably win that game. Run that play clock down to 3 or 4 seconds every single time, and you probably win that game. It was... I know I use this phrase occasionally.
Yeah.
It is coaching malpractice. It's one of those things that is inexcusable. And I can't wait to hear Charger fans try to defend this. 877-710-ESPN.
Okay. Let me say this. His resume right now is he's got 2 years under his belt as the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And in 1 year, the one thing people took away from last season is, Staley, you cost your squad a playoff spot.
Yes.
And in the second year... Staley, you have one of the worst blown leads in the history of playoff football. You were a team that everybody expected with the talent that you have. Forget even, you know, it's so easy to kind of look at that game and say, all right, hey, is it a coin flip before the game starts? But that's not how the game played out. You were up 27-0. I'm looking at Trevor Lawrence's stats. It's mm-hmm. so funny to see 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
When really, you see, he had both.
Can I give you an example? Let's use NBA as an example. Imagine a team that has 25 turnovers and the other team has 4. And the team with 4 ends up winning. Imagine in baseball, one team's got 5 errors and the other team does not have 1 error. And the team with 5 errors wins. Like, you can't... We don't see these enough in sports. This is a box score that should be laminated. It doesn't
right.
happen often.
Should hang in the Louvre just for a masterpiece on what not to do. like the play call sheet.
That's awesome. Yeah,
just hang it up
what
there.
What is that? It's the Mona Lisa.
You guys,
what is that right there? That's Saturday night, Jacksonville versus the Chargers.
It's Brandon Staley's play sheet from when how to turn a 27-point lead with 32 minutes of football left into a 31-30, or a 30, what was the final score?
31-30.
Yeah, 31-30. Right? Okay, we got a lot to get to, and I want Charger fans to get in on this. 877-710.
Where are you
going to
get them? Have your parents call in or something.
We'll make them up. There was a moment where you went, at least for me, you said when it was 27-0, mm-hmm. it's over. I that was really close for me, but there was another moment where you're like, uh-oh, there now all of a sudden the game's back in play.
I didn't want to jinx it.
Now all of a sudden, because I don't have the Charger feels like you do, but it just got to that point where you're like, hey, this is a game again all of a sudden. This is not just a intellectual exercise to see how close they can get it or maybe cover.
There's real pressure now on the other side.
Now all of a sudden, the pressure has flipped to the other side, mm-hmm. and it was glorious, and they did exactly what the Chargers have done. Now, does Brandon Staley come back, I think, mm-hmm. is the big question. There's a group of people that are saying no, and there's a group of people that are saying yes, and the people that are saying he should come back are really interesting to me. That's coming up next.
I'll help you understand that. Or I'll help you answer that question as well.
You got it. We're doing it next, plus your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis Lee, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So, you guys know when I knew the game was over? So I knew the game was over when NBC came back from a bump from break with Yellow Card playing. And Yellow Card is the pride of Jacksonville, Florida. And I was like, this is when I knew the Jaguars were coming back. So that's my little...
That's a band?
2 cents. Yes, it's a band. They're currently playing behind what you're hearing with my voice.
This is Yellow Card?
Yes, this is Yellow
like
Card.
Like in soccer?
Word. Yeah, so actually that's what the band's name is from. They were used to be like... When they were at parties... Like a party foul, and their group of friends would be called a yellow card, and so then they made their band's name Yellow Card.
When did the promo play? What point in the game?
It was like right after they it was right after they scored the first touchdown
after the Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the point where, and Slee, don't think I've forgotten about your steak. I'm gonna get to that. So I know people were excited about it. I'm proud of you for giving it an effort. I've seen far worse, but you were set up to fail by yourself.
We got round two coming soon.
Oh yeah. Well, basically, I am an influencer. We'll get to that as well. I don't know if you saw my influencing happening this weekend, but we'll talk about that too. They are up 21-0. Right? No, wait.
It's 27-0.
Right. No, so it's 24-0. It's 24-0. They're on like the 6-yard line. They're getting ready to go in again. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to make it 31-0. And it's a third down play. And Herbert throws a really bad ball to Keenan Allen, just misses him over the top.
Is this way too high? The punt?
Yes.
Okay.
Where they recovered the ball.
Yep.
And they're set up. It's like, okay, they're going to go up 31-0 before the half. This thing is literally over. They don't score a touchdown. Herbert just makes a bad throw. Misses Allen in the back, way too high.
Yep.
Not a good throw. By the way, you think maybe having Mike Williams down in the short red zone might have made a difference? I don't know. Just seems like having a receiver that's 9 feet tall that can jump like Mike. It just seems like a player you might like. What do I know? They kick a field goal to go up 27-0. Mm-hmm. There's like 2 minutes to go in the game. That point, you're like, you know, they really should have had a touchdown. Not that I thought they were going to lose. I'm not saying that.
I know what you're saying. But you're not cashing it in.
Not. When Jacksonville put a touchdown on the board before the end of the half, mm-hmm. and 27, because a 20-point lead is a big problem, but it's not over. It's not over.
Right.
31-0 mm-hmm. is over. 27-7 is not over. And again, I'm not saying I knew what was going to happen next, actually happened next.
But it was still interesting to
you. It wasn't over yet.
It was, hey, let's see what happens in these first 10 minutes of the third quarter, whatever the case is. You know, it's funny you say the Mike Williams thing. we gave, and a lot of people gave, Brandon Staley a lot of, you know what, for his decisions in that final game against the Denver Broncos. I actually wasn't even thinking of the Mike Williams thing as an issue on Saturday. For me, it was, look, you got some big boys in the AFC that you're going to have to face down the road. And if he's out 2 to 3 weeks, it means Mike Williams not going to be there for that Buffalo game, or if you're going to face KC, or if you're going to face Cincy. I didn't even look at Mike Williams. Of course, they could have used him, but I didn't even look at him in that situation. I looked at him more big. 2 to 3 weeks is the whole playoffs.
Right.
Right? So it was more, hey, if you get past Jacksonville, which you're supposed to and you should, it was what was going to happen after that.
Don't forget, it is a Bud Light Reaction Monday right here on 710 ESPN. We're reacting to everything that took place on Super Wild Card Weekend, including that unbelievable Chargers collapse. We're getting you ready for the Cowboys and Bucks tonight on ESPN. We still got another game to go on Super Wild Card Weekend. It's, of course, presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Must be 21 or older. Please enjoy responsibly. 2023 Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Looks like you were enjoying some Bud Light yourself this weekend.
I had a few. You saw my video.
Saw your video, yeah. Saw the cooler, stocked up with some Bud
See
Light.
How they're underneath, under the ice. They were on the ice about, I don't know, 6-7 hours you before the guys showed up.
You know, okay, the video you did, solid, cool. Hey, guys, I know it's raining out, all that stuff. What you should have done a video on, and maybe after this you could say for another time, go through your whole, hey, I'm going to walk you through my cooler step. Go from step one to, how many steps are there? 5 different steps?
Yeah,
seven different
right.
steps? You should go through, this is how you properly stock and prepare your cooler. Do it another time.
You should be a producer on my Bud Light channel that we're putting together.
No, there'll run
be,
it again.
There'll be another one coming up this weekend.
Fake right. smile.
Let's go to Brandon Staley and whether or not he gets fired. There are a million reasons to blow him out, right? Mm-hmm. There are a million reasons to say, all right, you've had 2 years, you've shot us in the foot both times, and he doesn't seem to be learning from his mistakes. We all know the reasons to get rid of him. Here's the reason not to get rid of him. Here's Derwin James after the loss. Mm-hmm.
Would you understand if Staley wasn't here next year?
Would I understand? Why would I understand? Why would he be here?
I'm just curious your thought.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people, like, on the outside, that's their perception. Like, that's the solution. Would you agree with that?
No, I feel like overall, it's a team effort. Like, all three phases of the ball, we gotta do our part. On offense, we gotta do our part. And then we gotta get the stops on defense. We did a great job. We had a great game plan. We just saying we gotta bring it to life.
How close do you think that you guys are to getting over that kind of hump?
Real close.
All right, so he went on to say that he's our guy. He gets everybody fired up. Justin Herbert said some very similar things. Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's great. He's got the entire locker room in the palm of his hands. There wasn't, at least nothing that I saw, there wasn't any, hey, do you think the coach is going to get fired, where guys go, hey, man, that's not my decision to make. That's the end of the line. When somebody throws in the, hey, you're going to get fired, I don't know what's going to happen next. That's not my job. That's when you know the dude's getting fired. The Charger players kind of stood up for him. And had his back, and I think because the Spanuses are as cheap as they are, because they don't want to pay a guy to be on his couch and then pay Sean Payton or whoever to coach the team, I think he comes back. Because if they were going to ice him, wouldn't you have done it by now? Okay. And the players seem to have his back.
So I guess this is the question then. The question is, do you think he's going to come back? And the question is, should he come back?
Yeah.
Okay, so do I think he's going to come back? Yes. I do think he's going to be the coach of the Chargers next year. And there are a number of reasons why I think he's going to be the coach of the Chargers next year. But I think if I went and we grabbed 10 people that watch the NFL religiously, and I said, hey, I got a question for you. You're Dean Spanos, and you own the Los Angeles Chargers. Should Brandon Staley come back, yes or no? And I think if you ask those 10 guys, 10 people, there's probably going to be 8 of them that say, okay, but if Sean Payton's on the other side, am I getting Sean Payton? Mm-hmm. Let me clarify all this for you as best as I possibly can. Dean Spanos left the market where you were the big fish in town. They were the market in San Diego. Yep. You only had 2 professional teams. They were the market. And on top of them just being the big fish, they were the more popular of the 2 professional teams.
No question.
Because it was the NFL, everything else. You decided we're going 2 hours north, we're coming up to Los Angeles. There are 8 professional teams here in Los Angeles, 8 of them. I'm not even counting the Anaheim teams. I'm not even counting USC and UCLA, which are professional teams. There's 8 squads, MLS, and you just go through the list, okay? You are now a small fish in a big pond. there's a coach that many people are saying is the perfect coach for your organization. Is it going to cost some money? Is it going to, I got to pay Staley for 2 years. I got to give up some draft compensation to go get Sean Payton. Then Sean Payton's going to come in with a big check. And then Sean Payton's going to say, I want these coordinators and you're paying for it as well. The right move to make for the Chargers in the big market is I'm going to go get the best that's waiting here in front of me. I want Sean Payton and I want Justin Herbert together. That's the right thing to do. Dean is not going to do that.
I don't think so either. I really don't.
He's not going to do that.
I just want to throw a wrinkle in there. Let's say that today Denver announces that they've hired Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton's off the board. Or Sean Payton is saying, you know what, this is not a good fit for me. I'm going to go somewhere else. Do you still fire him? Then if you just get a guy? Sean Payton is a known commodity, very successful, and would do a very good job. He's a proven winning NFL head coach. Let's say he goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you still fire Staley?
If you don't feel like you have a coach that, if you don't feel like you have somebody that's ready to come in and take you to the next level, then maybe I do pump the brakes a little bit.
But what about the, and I'm just, if he weren't there, if they just threw the headset on the sideline and did nothing, they probably win that game.
Yep.
So do you need a guy that, okay, this guy, I just have to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. I just need to get rid of him. His decision making is actively preventing us from going to where we want to go.
No, listen, you've heard the term a fireable offense. Saturday was a fireable offense.
On the heels of a fireable offense last year.
In that industry, right, as a coach, as somebody that you feel like, my coach is not taking us over the top. My coach is preventing us from moving forward. Those are fireable offenses.
Agreed.
If the Sean Payton thing that you just mentioned, of all the coaches, of all the positions out there, and we've even heard rumors about Sean Payton would prefer to be in Southern California.
Sure.
It's attractive that Justin Herbert's
there. It's Herbert.
It's all of that, yeah. Right? And they have a good team. They got players. They got real players that are, yes, on that squad. With all that being said, is it kind of not a no-brainer, especially in this market, that you grab Sean Payton, there's McVay in the other locker room on the other side. It's a Rams team that you're sharing a home with that already won
renting
a Super Bowl. Rent 100%, my bad on
yeah,
that.
You're not sharing it.
No.
You're renting a room.
You're renting a bedroom. You're Airbnb-ing a bedroom. You don't even have your own place. You're not even Airbnb-ing your own spot.
Yeah.
It's, I want to share a place.
It's one of those weird Airbnbs where
100%.
The owner's still in the house.
Yes.
They're upstairs.
And it's a communal kitchen. Everyone's using the same kitchen.
One bathroom. You can share a shower. You can wear your trunks.
It's a no-brainer to say, hey, what if your goal is, I'm here to win. But I got to be honest with you, and this is somebody that...
But it's not their goal.
That isn't
the goal.
It's not Dean's
yeah,
goal.
No, it's not.
It's not. So that's why I kind of go back to this is, I know what the right thing to do is, but I also know what Dean Spanos is and what he's been in the past. He's not going to go make that move. If he did, I would actually tip my cap to him and say, that is an aggressive move for the LA market, and it's the right move. I just don't think he's going to do it.
877-710-ESPN is the phone number you want to get in and talk about Brandon Staley and the Chargers. We're going to do that coming up next. I want to throw this out there, Sleet, too, because I'm not saying this is a joke. It's going to sound like I'm joking, and I'm not.
Okay.
How many assistant coaches are on an average NFL staff? 12, 15, something, a lot, right? It's way more than a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys all over the place, right? Why not have a guy, and the Ravens could have used one last night,
mm-hmm,
the Dolphins could have used one in Buffalo yesterday, and the Chargers certainly needed one. I almost said something I shouldn't say. Certainly should have had one in Jacksonville. Have a guy whose sole responsibility is to know how to run a clock. That's it. I don't need you to draw up a play. I don't need you to teach somebody how to block. I don't need you to do anything other than I know when we're not managing the clock correctly, and I can intervene in the head coach and say, hey, listen, we're doing this wrong. Because at some point in that second half, somebody needed to tell Coach Staley, you do know if you run the ball, the clock keeps running, right? You do know that if we just give it to Austin Eckler, even if he doesn't gain any yards,
tick,
the clock
tick,
keeps running.
Tick.
We can walk back to the huddle.
Mm-hmm.
We can huddle up. We can walk back to the line of scrimmage. And then we can stand there for 25
yeah,
more seconds. Because I'm not even, like I said, I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get so sped up and so in the moment, mm-hmm, where you think, okay, we're going to run this play. To not say, just listen, we're not even necessarily trying to beat Jacksonville. We just need that clock to – what do we do to just make that clock run? And I'm not saying that you go into prevent defense. I'm saying give the ball to Eckler more than seven times in the second half. He had 0 yards.
Trev.
He's a really good player.
He panicked. That's a panic coach on the other side.
So why not have that guy there? Hey, Brandon, we're tricking this off right here, right? Run the ball. We're doing the clock wrong. Have all the metrics. We should have used 9 minutes here. Mm-hmm. We used a minute and a half.
What are we doing here? But do you need a coach? You need to hire a coach to tell you that. That is such common sense.
Obviously, it's not.
Okay,
because we had five games. Three coaches screwed this up this weekend. Mm. Three of them. Staley screwed it up, Harbaugh screwed it up, and McDaniel screwed it up.
I think all of them different circumstances.
Yes.
But the Chargers, that's the circumstance by far the most you're like, that's the most common sense thing that I've seen.
The Chargers was the most egregious of the three, and it was the most inexplicable of the three. John Harbaugh's been around a long time. He won the Super Bowl. He's a good coach. They couldn't have worked that clock any worse at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Mike McDaniel is a rookie coach. He had a fourth string quarterback or whatever it is.
Sure.
That one makes a little sense, but hey, we got to pick this up a little bit. There was a whole bunch of clock mismanagement. Have a guy just, hey, we're doing this wrong. This is where you call timeout. This is where you run the ball. And somebody there that has no responsibilities other than to manage the clock. Chargers win that game if they have that coach on the staff. They absolutely win that game. All right, your phone call is coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. A lot of other great games this weekend as well. Still got one more to go, too. Yeah. Tom Brady tonight. It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
People need to get on it. You know, I like to give them credit, Al, when they do a good job for Astley. Kind of, I think it's a little football hangover, perhaps. Not nearly as many Astleys, as many good Astleys as I would like. So
let's get to work here,
step up your game, folks.
By the way, MT Wednesday. Talked to Michael yesterday. Told him, ask MT. He's like, what time? Like Wednesday, 10:45. I'm like, I'll text you tomorrow.
You better make sure that he's ready to go. We got to talk about the Lakers too, and how that one ended last night. That was a few things going on at that one.
We have 3 hours and 12
didn't
minutes.
Call a timeout. LeBron didn't touch it. May or may not have been a foul. And then Embiid is just hilarious, generally speaking.
Embiid is hilarious.
He's hilarious. He's great at trolling people. Own. It's great. He's fantastic. Let's go to Westlake Village and go to Chris first. Chris, you're on with Travis Lee. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. Really enjoy the show. The writing was on the wall for Brandon Staley from Week 18 when he played all his starters. Mike Williams got hurt. Lee, you were absolutely right. They needed him in the fourth quarter. His aggressive nature, if it was a standalone offense, whether it's going for fourth downs last year to now running the clock and throwing the ball and not running down the clock, the only reason I watched the end of that game when it was 27-14 was to see if they fired him in-game and there was a cardboard cutout of Sean Payton coaching the team.
Yeah, here's the one problem with that, Chris, and we appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Chris.
Problem is you have to pay the other coach, and you have to pay him really good money. And you want to know what probably comes with paying him really good money? You have a winning franchise. You actually have a squad that you can look at and say, our coach is going to help us get over the hump, not prevent us from doing it. And that's obviously what Staley was doing. Can I hit on one thing? And I just want to make sure that we remember this. You were reading off some of those quotes. And you're right. Brandon Staley, Derwin James, Justin Herbert, you're reading off some of the quotes about Staley.
They like him. They support him.
So I think sometimes you could be at fault with how you feel about somebody. It's not that they don't like him. It's not that they don't respect him. It's not that they don't want to win for him. But trust me, when you sit back and the dust settles, I think these players are going to say to themselves, a week goes by, a couple weeks, a couple months goes by, did we not get in the playoffs because of him, or is it just something specific on us? Remember that game? Keenan Allen was out.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends a tweet in the middle of the game.
Yep.
And the tweet is, what the are we doing? And then he had to take it down. And then he, you know, Staley has come in and say, yeah, you know, we had a conversation. It was just a little miscommunication. No, there wasn't.
No, there wasn't.
He thought you were a dumbass in that situation. And he was speaking in the moment. I wonder if these players, again, I'm not saying they don't support Brandon Staley. What I'm saying is, there's got to be something in the back of your mind saying, is all the stuff that people are saying, is this guy actually preventing us from moving forward? I think he is.
I don't think there's any argument that he's not. You know, I don't think that there is a compelling case to be made that Brandon Staley is helping the Chargers overachieve where they are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for instance, when Sean McVay showed up for the Rams were bad. They got good almost immediately. Let's look at Brian Daboll with the Giants. The Giants were a bad team last year. They were expected to be a bad team this year. They're really good. Brian Daboll obviously was a difference maker right there. Jacksonville had the first pick in the draft last year because Urban Meyer was that bad at his job. Doug Peterson comes in and has them into the divisional round, and they keep playing. He's a difference maker.
How about that, dude?
Brandon Staley is not.
Yeah.
These pieces were in place. Is he the worst guy? And here's another thing. It's a little bit of an offshoot. Some guys are coordinator guys. Some guys are what are called dark room guys. They sit there in the middle of the night with their little laser pointer going over the plays. Oh, this here's an opportunity. We're going to do that. And then there's the guy that's the CEO of the team that knows how to run the whole picture. Mm. It's not the same guy. Sometimes it is, but not always. He could be one of those guys. What you're saying could be true, that once the emotion of, hey, I got my coach's back wears off, and they're like, We were ahead to 27.
Is Jacksonville really still playing this week?
We really did blow a 27-point lead in 32 minutes. We only ran the ball 8 times. Austin Ekeler had really? That we had a 5-0 turnover and we didn't win the game, and nothing. The craziest part about all of this, nothing weird happened. Nobody, the quarterback didn't get hurt.
Bro,
he didn't start
so
throwing
true.
A bunch of interceptions.
That's so true.
They didn't have a bunch of returns for touch. Nothing weird happened. They just choked.
There wasn't a punt recovery fumble that went for a touchdown. There wasn't Herbert getting hit. The ball comes out and somebody takes it 70 yards. That didn't happen.
None of that. And it's just another option in the game of, is this the worst Charger loss in history? It's a good pick. Marlon McCree's pretty good pick. This is right up there with it.
Are we doing that right now?
We'll get to it. I want to take another phone call just because I don't want to tear off the San Diego scab for you. I want to stay on the L.A.
Okay,
scab.
But I want you to know, as you do that, those are whatever highlights you play of previous debacles in San Diego. Uh-huh. Those are ours in San Diego. Those are not allowed to come up here to L.A. You already took the damn team out of San Diego.
It could be in the Spanos DNA. It might be a Spanos thing that they could move him to
Tulsa. No, he's a loser.
Tulsa.
He's a loser.
So hold on. Spanos is a loser. Who'd you call? Oh, you called Trevor Lawrence ugly. That's what it was.
Trevor Lawrence was ugly.
Is. And he didn't change.
No, he changed a little bit.
He looked
a little more handsome
after
you after that win.
I'm like, I'm moving actually. I bought real estate in Duval.
Duval County. Yeah.
Is that the county?
Let's try another call here. Let's go to Lamita and Sean. Sean, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Devastating loss for me. I've been a Charger fan since 79. And is it all on Brandon Staley? Well, 98% of it. But there were some injuries there when Mike Davis, the shutdown corner, who had shut down Tariq Hill and Cordell Stewart and other great receivers, he went down. And all of a sudden, there was Christian Kirk catching passes. Christian Kirk had not been seen until Davis got hurt. And then Jamari Salyer, the backup left tackle, who was doing a phenomenal job, he gets hurt. And now Herbert can't throw the ball because he has no time.
Sean, 27-0. Sean, 27-0.
I know.
And five turnovers to nothing. If
98%. Yeah.
If that left tackle went out and I came in, I know that it's 27-0.
Run the ball. Run the ball. Give it to. Look, Sean, you know who you sound like, and I thank you for the call. I appreciate it. You sound like me. You sound like me talking about the yeah, but if this, there are just problems.
UCLA.
Sometimes. This is what this was. Yeah, you had some things. This was not a Justin Herbert is out for the game. Austin Eckler's out for the game. Bosa's out for the. It was.
Yeah.
It you gagged.
You choked.
You did. You choked. And mostly because your head coach couldn't stop it from happening. Mm-hmm. And really the worst part, and I don't really want to say couldn't stop it. Didn't try to stop it. Just let it happen. Just continued to throw the ball.
You know what to do.
He didn't know what to do.
He didn't know what to do.
Your kick, and by the way, this wasn't the end of the game. But the Charger seemingly had their kicker finally figured out he missed a kick that would have. Now, all of a sudden, now I got to get a touchdown. You had your player, Joey Bosa, get hurt in that moment, or not get hurt, get that penalty, which made them go, okay, look, we can win. If we get this two, we got a chance to win the game with a field goal.
Can I ask you a question on the Bosa
penalty?
Yeah, the Bosa penalty, which, by the way, not enough, I think, is being talked about Bosa losing it the way he did, slamming his helmet down, do it again, whatever. Okay, is what it is. But when Doug Peterson decides, and I don't know if this is just a regular theme all around, you're down, you get the extra point, you're down three.
Right.
Is it just me or are 98% of the coaches, even after that penalty, saying, well, we're just going to get the extra point, we're down three, and this thing's going to OT?
I think from the 1 yard line, which is where they are instead of like the 2.5 where you have to typically run it from the 1 yard line,
yeah,
with a quarterback that's 6'6" and can literally just reach over the line, I think it's one of those, we have to take this chance.
So you weren't surprised that they
did
that?
A little bit, but not to the point where, what are they doing? Because if you miss it,
there's enough momentum. You got to go score a touchdown. But it was bold.
It was bold.
He had that. Sure. He had that play was bold. And then
the Etienne run on the outside.
But they're third and one, decide to throw, and I'm like, Doug Peterson, I get it. I understand it. You feel good about everything. But now the game's going to end right here. And then the run around, just amazing.
I wanted him to do the Philly special. I wanted it so bad to do the Philly special at one point in time with Trevor Lawrence.
I think that having those two coaches on the field at the same time is a great explanation and differentiator between what is being aggressive and what's being reckless. Brandon Staley is reckless.
Yep.
Doug Peterson is aggressive. Because there's a time where being aggressive, go for two from the 1 yard line, makes a lot of sense. Never running the ball in the second half with a 900-point lead is reckless.
I'm not kidding. If you had your TV turned all the way down and you were just watching and you see when they pan to Doug Peterson and they pan to Brandon Staley, one side looks like what's in the office where they're running around, they got the fire drill or whatever is going on. That's what one sideline looked like. The other one looked like just straight zen, that he was just sitting there meditating in a calm state of mind.
Trevor Lawrence threw four interceptions in the first half and won the game. Okay? He threw four interceptions
Trevor Lawrence
and won the game.
Went up my rankings for good looking.
Dude, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he is fun to watch.
And by the way, not a ton of fear in that guy's eyes. Mm-hmm. It was really exciting to see in one of those quarters. Oh, well, this is interesting. And then, of course, we got to talk about Brock Purdy, too, because the Niners might win the Super Bowl, and they have three starting quarterbacks on their roster. That's a weird problem and a good problem to have. That's coming up, but not before Ask Slee. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. All right, 877-710-ESPN is the phone number if you want to get in and do an on-the-phone Ask Slee. We'll do that in a second. And I got my my tweets at Travis Rogers, at Alan Slee as well. Crypto Ray very quickly has a tweet that says, Doug Peterson's speech after being down 27-0. Don't worry, they're the Chargers. Now, it was 27-7 at the half. But yes, your point is well taken along the way. All right, Francis, bat and lead off here, Al.
Okay.
Why do people pronounce the Jaguars Jaguars? Hashtag Ask Slee.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, and I don't know where to start. What I'm hoping for is they start changing the spelling of the name as well to Jagwires.
Right.
It should be Jaguars.
But it's not. That's not what the animal's called.
But that's incorrect. It's not after the animal, even though that's their logo.
It should be like the British version, like Jaguar.
Well, it's a Jaguar. It's not a Jaguar.
That's why I just go Jags. Just go Jags. Make it simple. Jags Nation. Make it simple.
I remember, this is a long time ago. Shoot, it could be 20 years ago, because Keith Olbermann, when he was doing SportsCenter, did an entire like 2 minutes on why people pronounce it wrong and had it spelled. It was
really
terrific. It was just a terrific thing. Yes, people, Jaguars, U-A-R, not W-I-R-E. Let's do better.
Jaguars.
I know you like Jaguars. Ivan in Monrovia. So, Slee, what's worse?
Okay.
Being behind the person in the parking garage who doesn't know how to pay and holding up the line, or going through the drive-thru and dropping your food upon receiving it?
Okay, so we actually run into this frequently. When you come to LA Live, we all, if it's the first time you've been to LA Live and you're parking in the parking garage below us, we are parking in that garage every single day. So there are a lot of people who maybe are going to Yard House or they're going to an event, whatever the case is. They don't know where to go. And we have pulled into this garage 1,887 times and continuing to count. To me, it's very frustrating. They don't know where to pull the ticket from. They're too far away from it. They got to open their door a little bit, okay? All right? Now they're asking the attendant a question.
When they put it in park, you're like, yep. Oh, boy, we're going to be here for a while.
Oh, we're going to be here for a while. They're asking the attendant a question.
Hit the button.
And the thing is up. The thing is up, but they're still asking the attendant a question. And then once they get in, and then you go, because we got our card, we get in real quick. Now they don't know where to park. They don't know where to go. Some of the spots are reserved. It's Herbalife. It's this. That, to me, is very frustrating. I know it's something stupid to complain about, but yes, I will take that over dropping my food.
I've never dropped my food getting it through the drive-thru. Now that means I'm going to drop it the next time I get it, but I've never really experienced that problem.
As a drive-thru worker at one point in time, it's happened where they have dropped it several times.
Yeah?
It's just like they've been like, they're too far away and I have to like lean really far out and then like they've dropped it and then all we do is just we make them a new one. Like it's kind of simple.
Pull around to the side, park over there, we'll bring you a new bag.
Go to Wendy's.
It's Chick-fil-A. We needed to be efficient.
That's okay. Right. You got to tell people they have a nice day.
I have one for you, Alan.
Okay.
So,
what is your name and where are you from?
There are two. This is Emily from Koreatown. She says, one, why didn't you send me the steak picture? Because I was equally as invested in the steak picture and Travis got it and I didn't.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I wasn't that confident about it, you know? So I felt like Trav was almost like a dad in that moment. Where
I had a nice
some,
response.
I did have an. You actually were very, you were kind of forward thinking on this. Like, okay, hey, you know, you missed that shot. That's fine. Get that elbow
get
in.
Get another one.
Get that elbow in. And it's not that you wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I just felt I didn't need a group at that moment. I needed like one person.
Exactly. You need a one-on-one session, not a group session.
I ended up not doing it on Friday night. I did it on Saturday, middle of the afternoon. Football was starting, so it was actually a perfect time to do it.
All right, and I have one last one. So I saw a movie over the weekend on Friday. It's called Megan, and I think that we've talked about it before. It's like the doll that comes to life, and she's a robot doll.
Okay.
When are you going to see this movie? Because you need to see this movie. This movie made for you.
No joke. I want to see Babylon first.
No, you don't. You want to see Megan first. You want to see Megan
first.
3 hours,
Al.
You love it's 90 minutes. It's perfect. It's short. It's hilarious.
I don't mind 3 hour movies as long as it's good. Just have it be good. I'll sit there.
And this is literally this humor. Everything about it is made for you. It's like a funny thriller.
Okay.
So when are you gonna go
see
it?
I don't know, but I will go see it soon. I'll make it the next movie I see after Babylon.
All right, next one. It's from Cap from Whittier. Says, would you rather get tased by a police officer or get hit on the blind side from Aaron Donald?
Tased by a police officer.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Aaron Donald, the tasing I think has, you know, it has its purpose. Yeah, I can't move for, you know, a good 10 seconds or so. But after that, there's a lawsuit coming to the LAPD. I didn't do anything. So I'm going to go with the tase.
Guys get tased. I don't want to sound like it happens every day, but you'll even see like the police officers, when they go through
the
training.
You get a parking ticket, you get tased.
You get tased, and they seem to be, it looks terrible, don't get me wrong, not looking to get tased. Mm-hmm. Aaron Donald, that may be the last thing that ever happens to you.
That could be it.
That's it. He's pretty big
no
and fast
pads,
and
no
strong and aggressive, and I don't think I need any part of that. G-Fish 21, Slee. When was the last time you had a Twinkie or Hostess cupcake?
Long enough to where I don't remember. It's been that long, so it's got to be at least 10 years. If you told me to pick between the two, that's actually tough because they both are really good. I would go Twinkie over the Hostess.
So I had a Twinkie this weekend. I have not had a Twinkie.
No one believes you.
So it's been, to your point, I don't remember the last time I had one. I'm sure it's been less than 10 years, but I couldn't tell you when I had it. Buddy of mine brings over a box of Hostess cupcakes and Twinkies. Might be named G-Fish 21. May not be. We'll see. And he comes to the door like, what the hell are you doing with these? He brings them. I'm just selling. They were gone. We had a couple guys. There were the whole box of both of these. There's only one or two left of each. They're terrific.
I will tell you, that's an easy one where I'm not going out of my way to buy it. But if it's chilling right there, I'm probably going to have one. I think I'm going Twinkie first, more just like so I could feel like I'm 6 years old again.
I had two Twinkies.
Two of them.
The second
you didn't
one
do
was
one
just
and
as,
one.
Nah, the Twinkie was too good. I had to go again. I couldn't risk going
those
backwards.
Don't expire, do they?
Never.
And they're all natural?
100% organic.
And no preservatives.
So why weren't we invited to this like Twinkie fest?
Don't worry about that, Emily. It's like it was raining. I didn't want you guys to have to make a trip down. Sure. It was a lot going
on. Let me tell you something. I love the guy. I don't think we're getting an invite. I have accepted the non-invitation.
It was impromptu. There was, you know, it was just one of these things that kind of came together at the last minute. One more. Shane Rosa writes, any quarterback's hair in the NFL, who would you take?
Any quarterback's hair?
Easy. Trevor Lawrence, obviously. No, Hottie.
Not for me.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger back in the day was just amazing. Such a good-looking dude.
Oh, my God.
Well, you don't have to take his face. It's just his hair.
How's Garoppolo's hair?
That's the answer. It's perfect.
But is it perfect, or is it just because he's so good-looking that he can have any hairstyle?
It's perfect.
Yeah?
It's like a little salt and pepper, but not too much. Yeah. It's very good-looking.
It's Jimmy G. Why do you think there was a line of Golden State Warrior dancers just wanting to say hello to him? It's not because his hair was bad.
That to me, wasn't even the impressive part. It was Christian McCaffrey.
I didn't care at all.
Looks like a really good-looking dude.
Not when you're standing next to him.
Got zero attention from the ladies.
So
it's taken.
I have a buddy. We know you and I occasionally do some TV stuff. And pop. He goes, did you have it written in your contract somewhere where every time you go on TV, everyone else has to be uglier than you? because you're not a good-looking guy until you stand next to those guys. And I'd like maybe that's McCaffrey in the reverse. Like McCaffrey's a good looking guy, but not when you're standing next to Garoppolo.
Jeez.
Not when you're standing next to Garoppolo. I mean
the Trevor Lawrence thing is interesting, dude. He's just got so much hair.
All right. I have lots of questions about your steak. We're gonna get to the Al's steak along the weekend because I think you're close. You're closer than you think. That's coming up.
I gotta walk you through the whole thing.
That's coming up.